This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. If you're listening to 1120 AM, check out 98.7 FM. Sounds great in my Jeep. You can also download the Odyssey app, which is very easy to do, where you can get thousands of shows, even on our competitors' radio stations, oddly enough. But you can listen to all of KMOX. You can pause and rewind, and it's pretty cool. I'm sorry to say you can fast forward. You can find out what we're going to say in the future. Kudos to Rach. Andrew's out today, and Andrew's not only the producer, but he's our troubleshooter. And during that last segment, all of our screens went blank. So
figured it out. I was able to get it back.
Makes it hard to do a radio show.
I appreciate that, Dave, because I'm pretty proud of myself right
now.
Good call.
How to do it.
Good for you.
Because that's the thing. Like, I used to be a lot more like tech savvy than I am. But having Andrew here, like, I have become kind of intellectually lazy. Like, I'll just be like, it's not working. And then Andrew comes and fixes it for me.
Yeah.
So when he's not here, it's like, all right, I got to shift into another gear and get it done.
Send some good thoughts Andrew's way. He is at home throwing up. So he's got something. So
poor guy.
He won't be back tomorrow, but hopefully he'll be back by Monday.
Yeah. Take the extra time.
100%.
Because even if you're, quote, better, you're still not back.
Yeah. No. He's going to be, like, weak and tired.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Get some sleep.
Let's talk about the Bregman situation a little bit.
Sure. So we got, I mean, obviously, you know, it was fun because we actually had one of our best gas house gangs today.
Good.
In part because it's something real, tangible to talk about rather than speculation, right? Like, Boston signed Alex Bregman last night, or at least agreed last night. The signing will be official whenever he passes a physical. And it's 3 years and $120 million, a lot of money deferred. He's got opt-outs after each of the years.
Now, I keep hearing that this is a surprisingly rich deal.
Well, on the AAV, yeah. So it's $40 million a year. But
what's AAV stand for?
Annual value. Okay. Average annual value. Sorry, I'm doing baseball nerd terms.
That's okay.
That's a good
Educating
question.
Educating the audience along with me.
Everybody listening is like, what's that AAV? is that a batting average? No, it's just the average salary per year. He was trying to get 6 or 7 years. He had an offer on the table. It was reported last night. He had an offer on the table from the Cubs that was 6 years. He had an offer on the table from Detroit that was 6 years. Those were more in the $28 to $30 million a year range, but that's still guaranteed money, right? I mean, that's, you know, 6 years, $170 million guaranteed. He's getting $120 guaranteed, but his maximum commitment is 3 years. And he can opt out after each of the first 2 years. So if he wants to be a free agent again next year, he can be. The deferred money means that it's not actually worth $40 million now. The present day value, the way the union calculates things with deferred money, is actually more like 30. But whatever. He gets to say he got $40 million a year. So he goes to Boston, which means Nolan Arenado is not going to Boston, essentially. Which means the Cardinals don't have an obvious place to trade Arenado at this point. Because you're limited, and John Mozeliak talked about this yesterday. they only have talked to five teams because there's only five teams that kind of meet the criteria. Teams that are interested in him, that he is interested in, that are also good teams. Because he's not going to go sideways. He's not going to go to a team that is similar to the Cardinals or worse than the Cardinals, right? So Boston was one of them. You just write them off. The Dodgers were one. Well, they're loaded. They don't need a player. They have everything covered. You know, they could, I guess, decide, wow, what the hell, do one more. But it's not an easy move for them because it moves around other pieces that they've already brought in. The Padres would be on his list. And again, these are cities reported by people like Derek Gould and others, and some of the national insiders. San Diego would be, but they have Manny Machado at third base. And trading for Nolan Arenado to play him at first base would be really weird because his real value is in his defense at third base.
And did he say he was open to that?
Well, the Padres, he hasn't said that out loud. It's just been reported by sources, by using sources from behind the scenes, because it's in Southern California, and the Padres are typically pretty good. I mean,
a hell of a first baseman, right?
I mean, I guess. I mean, he would lack the experience, but he would have the physical aptitude to pick it up pretty quickly. But it would be a waste because he's a league average hitter at this point. You don't typically put league average hitters at first base. You typically would put a higher end hitter there. And he's not quick enough to play shortstop. Manny Machado has played shortstop, but he's getting older, so it's not an easy fit there. The Yankees have been reported as a team that the Cardinals that Nolan would be okay with, but the Yankees don't seem all that hot about the idea. And maybe they will be now if they can come back to the Cardinals and say, "Well, look at that. You don't have anywhere else to send him. If you meet our terms, we'll take him." And
you were saying, I thought this was very interesting because I said the Cubs wanted Bregman. How about the Cubs? And you said never.
I can't see the Cardinals trading him to the Cubs, no. And I can't see the Cubs wanting to do that either, really. I mean, you know, because if either side ends up comes out looking bad on it, well, then that impacts, you know, the rivalry between the two of you for the next few years. Yeah, I mean, maybe not to that extreme, but teams tend to not want to make deals like that in their own division. Just for the fact that it can blow up in your own face, yeah. Right? So there's that kind of thing. There was a report earlier that he might be interested in the Angels, but they're not very good. Like, they're no better than the Cardinals are, really. But it's Southern California, and that's where he's from. So maybe he would consider it, but they don't really have a spot unless you're willing to eat a lot of the money. And then today, a lot of people in Detroit are like, well, they lost out on Bregman. Would they be there? They might be interested in Arenado. I don't think he's going there. Again, it's more of a lateral move. They made the playoffs last year, but they're not like the surefire contender like the Red Sox, Dodgers, Yankees. You know, they're not like that. So
I know you don't know, but if you had to put your own $10 on it, would you bet that Arenado at least starts the season with us?
Sure looks like it now. I mean, again, not a guarantee. A team like the Yankees could, they don't have a good third base setup. They just don't. They could be like looking at the Red Sox getting better. They could be looking at, you know, the rest of the American League and going, man, we could pick up Arenado for not very much. And that would at least give us elite defense at third base. And
why wouldn't they do that?
Money. They just don't want to, whatever, you know, this is what we kind of got into. So Matt and Bernie and I were on the Gas House Gang today. And this is one of the things we explored is whether or not the Cardinals may have tried too hard to thread the perfect needle on this, you know, to find a Goldilocks deal that saves them all or most of the money and maybe also get something in return. And of course, you got to thread that needle with only a small number of teams that Nolan would actually approve a deal to. Because it seems likely that if they were willing to eat more of the money than we think, that somebody would take him for a lot less. Right, I mean,
because basically you're getting a $35 million a year guy for like 10 or 15.
Yeah, and let's say he's not a $35 million a year player now. Let's say he's a $25 million or a $22 million a year player. If you're getting that for 12 or 13 million, that's a good deal for the other team. The other team would be incentivized. And we may, you know, Bernie and I agree on this. I think Matt agrees to a degree that even if you have to eat half of what you owe him, let's say you have to eat $32 million of the $64 million you owe him. You're still saving $32 million, and you're still opening up all of that playing time for the guys you want that playing time to go to.
The future of your club.
Right, which seems like not that bitter of a pill to swallow if you really care about that, but it doesn't seem like they have interest in going that far on the contract, which is fine. And look, they're better with Nolan. He's a good player. Like
That's really been lost, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan now, as you know, but I'm not a smart fan. I don't know what you guys know, but I've started thinking of him not as this stud that we're lucky to have. I'm thinking of him as like this weight around our neck, and that's not fair.
And if that is true, if there's any way that you could say having him on the roster is holding you back, it's not his fault. It's the team's fault for being in this position to begin with. And they acknowledge that. Like, they've made it clear, like, this is not a guy we're trying to dump just to get rid of him. It's because we see where we are, and there's only so many ways that we can clear for younger players.
Yeah.
Because you're not, you know, Mason Wynn's not going anywhere. You got all these other players that you're trying to sort out so that next year when Heim Bloom takes over, you have a really good idea of what your path can be towards being a contender again. They don't want this to be a longer-term thing. This isn't a teardown where you're going to gut the roster and start over. This is something that they're hoping to turn around pretty quickly. And the most important thing they can probably get out of any of this, the Arenado trade and any other moves that they're going to make, is knowledge. The knowledge of what you have in-house right now and what you can count on going into next year.
Because we do have great young players. But we could have consistently, really, we could have the next Arenados.
Probably not that level, but yeah, I mean, you've got players that you have to find out about, right? So you have to, if you go around the lineup, you got to figure out, okay, what is the expected performance level for a guy like Nolan Gorman, right? His numbers stunk last year because he had a 5-week run where he was terrible. But the year before that, he was really good. So you got to figure that out before next year. What can we count on from Nolan Gorman? A full year of at-bats this year would help that. And is he going to be good enough for us to be our long-term third baseman? Because if he isn't, we need a new path there. And if he is, then great. Boom. We don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, Brendan Donovan can play anywhere, but you also are trying to free up some at-bats for Thomas Tejesi as an example. So you've got a young guy who's got some power, who's primarily a middle infielder, primarily a second baseman. So if Gorman is playing second, then those at-bats aren't there for him because Donovan's going to play. He's going to play somewhere because he's one of your better players. And it's just this constant, it's like, and Mo described this yesterday really interestingly, that it's a constant string of about 9 dominoes, and they're all impacted by whether or not you're able to trade Arenado.
So can you talk a little bit about what you told me about the polling of the front offices?
So Jason Stark from The Athletic does this in the spring of every year where he kind of reviews the offseason, and he just interviews or asks, he sends out like a questionnaire to all of his contacts in front offices all over baseball. So these are all league executives that are offering their opinions on who had the best offseason. Which free agent was the best signing? What was the best trade? Who had the worst offseason? All of those things. And in the write-up about the teams, like who did the least to help themselves? The Cardinals were on that list in the National League. Of course, they haven't signed a player. They've not signed a major league player in free agency. So clearly they've not done anything to make themselves better because they're not adding, right? It doesn't mean you won't play better. It just means you're not adding to it. And one of the comments in that was calling an executive of another team saying that the Cardinals offseason has been absurd.
Wow.
That's a big word. And you know what? It kind of fits, right, when you think about it. Because the Cardinals said from day one out loud, our number one priority is trading Nolan Arenado. Well, here you are a few days from him reporting to camp, and he's still here, and you've done nothing else. So in a reset, you've really done nothing but let 3 guys walk out the door. You let Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson, and Paul Goldschmidt walk out the door. That's it.
What could they have done?
Well, there are a lot of ways you could have been more aggressive. You could have been more aggressive in trading someone like Ryan Helsley. You could have been more aggressive in trading Eric Fetty, who's only got 1 year left on his contract and would have value because he only makes $7.5 million and he's a reliable middle of the rotation starter. A lot of teams would love to have that player at $7.5 million for a year. You could have gone further and seen to if there were deals out there for Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras. Now, both of them said they wanted to stay. And it's good. I think it's good to keep them. Like, I'm not saying you want to move them. But there were other paths like that that you could have pursued. But everything got tied into this one move, and now nothing's changed. And that's why it's being called absurd. That I think people, and I think Jeff Passan had this from another executive, but about the Arenado situation, who used, I think might have used the same word about their demands, that their demands are absurd. Like, they expect people to pick up all the money, and just that's not how it's going to work for a 34-year-old player who's shown declining offensive skill the last 2 years. And the reason why the word absurd fits there, and all three of us, me and Bernie and Matt, agreed on that today, that word fits, and it's because we all knew at the beginning of this that that's how it would play. I mean, Bernie said it, I said it, Matt said it, Tom said it, Garrett Gould said it, we've all said it. There was no way you were going to move him without eating money. No way. Just given the way baseball operates now. 20 years ago, you would have had an easy taker. Somebody would have taken that for you and given you a couple of know-nothing prospects.
Why do you know that and they don't?
They do know it, but the Cardinals can be stubborn. You know, they don't want to give up on the idea of being good. So, you know, if you're looking at a worst case from their perspective, worst case is we still have Nolan Arenado and maybe we can be better than everybody thinks we will be. But, you know, part of it is symbolic of why these other changes are happening. Because it's kind of the old school way of thinking of things, and it's part of what needs to change with the new leadership.
224 at DGS on KMOX. Thanks for being with us on this beautiful but frigid Thursday. Razor's Edge?
Yeah, so we talked about the ick earlier this week. Psychology Today is also talking about the ick. I just thought this was very interesting.
Okay, before you even start.
Okay.
Has the ick always existed? Now we've just named it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe in the past it would be like, gives me the creeps.
Okay.
That kind
yeah.
of thing.
But it's just more of a thing now because it's a trend on TikTok and it is genuinely hurting people's feelings.
Yes. Yes. I'm just waiting for it to hit me.
So Psychology Today did an article about this called The Ick Factor, The Science Behind Sudden Attraction Shifts, Why Otherwise Great Partners Suddenly Turn Us Off, Often for Weird Reasons. So they decided to do like a little study of what causes the ick. And many people assume that physical appearance is the main trigger, but the analysis of the TikTok community suggests otherwise. So they just did a study based on like all these TikToks that have been made on it, right? So women were most concerned about a guy being too feminine. Men's biggest concern was a woman who is too trendy. Women also considered misogynistic behavior and fashion faux pas as frequent icks. But for men, physical appearance made the top five, though it did not for women. So, fellas, if you're out there worried about giving someone the ick because of the way you look, that's probably not the main mm-hmm. thing. It's other stuff. It's
being too feminine.
Being too feminine.
Or
like,
too
what
masculine.
Does that mean?
Or
yeah,
too masculine.
What does that mean?
They're narrow
I mean,
band.
And don't get me wrong, there, you know, especially on the too masculine side, I mean, there's a part where you go there and you're like, okay, buddy.
Yeah.
Relax.
Do you have the too feminine thing, Rach?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know what that means necessarily. Like, what could a straight guy be doing that would be too feminine? I don't understand.
I mean, to me, I translate that as being like too in touch with their feelings, too emotional.
Oh, no, that's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. That's mean if you're getting mad at someone for being in touch with their emotion. Like,
I mean,
that's for girls. Like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with you?
Because, like Wheeler just said, let's say that a man is a little too in touch with his emotions.
Okay.
You don't have to go too very far out on the other end to go like, this guy has no feelings.
Yeah.
Like, we're
hey.
In kind of a tight little, not you. Like, we're in a tight little box there.
I know. I do feel for you guys in that. And sometimes I'm like, man, do I do too many segments that are like, I feel sorry for the guys. Like, but, like, sometimes I do. I feel bad when it comes to the expressing the emotions thing because it's like, if you do cry and you show emotion, a lot of women have said publicly they don't like that.
Mm,
but then at the
I'm
same
out.
Time, if you don't share your emotions at all, that's a relationship ruiner as well because then it's like, how am I supposed to know what's going on with you?
Yeah.
It does seem like you're in, like, kind of a trick box there.
It's I'm screwed. I'm crying live on the air in my job.
Yeah, well, I'll say this too, though. I mean, on the other side of it, because I know a lot of guys will complain like, well, if you want me to know something, just tell me instead of, yeah, but then you don't often like what you hear.
That's true.
You know, I mean, like, I think both men and women play these games in their heads.
Yeah.
And early on in relationships, those are going to be icks. They are going to be maybe this isn't going to work. I think when they come up later on, when you already have like an established trust and you know a lot about each other, they're less icky because the ick stuff seems to be more of like a first impression.
I agree with that.
As opposed to like something you just figure out 5 months down the road when you've been dating someone.
I did find this interesting. Women were more likely to have experienced the ick than men. 75% of women said they had experienced it. 57% of men did. Upon having the ick, 26% of people terminated the relationship immediately. That kind of plays into what Kevin is just saying. There's no way if I'm in a committed relationship with you, if you give me the ick one time, I'm like, ah, you know what? It's time to move out.
Yeah.
You know, this has got to be like kind of like your excuse.
Never noticed you smell like soup.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's kind of, yeah, it's just kind of the way you sort through the numbers, right?
Right.
Welcome back, guys. DG, Asa, and KMOX. Andrew is out with the ick. he's got super ick at home, so sending him all of our best thoughts. Hope he gets better and has a decent weekend. He'll be back on Monday. Our buddy Janelle is here. She's a little bit early. She's usually at 3, but we said, come on in. Let's just do it now. And she brought us Valentine's.
Yeah, I think the cookies let me in early.
that'll usually do it.
Bribery. Yeah.
Like, your cookies can come in now if you want.
Right. You sit out on the couch.
You can come with them.
I guess we're that obvious.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of subtlety.
No.
We're like, cookies!
No, not you guys.
So how are you?
I mean, right now, I'm glad I got the ick over Christmas. It seems like everybody's fallen. Yeah. And yeah, I had it all. I had the stomach flu, and then I had a sinus infection, a cold, like, I got it all out in 2 weeks.
So you're so classy. You say stomach flu, I say peeing out of your butt. That's why I give so many people the ick.
Well, that's because I was barfing. So, I mean, I didn't have the.
What's your strategy when you're that kind of sick? Like, Wheeler's a lay on the bathroom floor guy. I'm a lay in my bed like a werewolf howling.
Well, we did talk about this. I had quizzed my daughter because she had had it first. And so I was like, I was determined that how she had it was exactly how I was going to have it. It was going to be, I was going to throw up every 2 hours. And, you know, so I mean, I had it timed like contractions. It was like,
she's like, they're 10 minutes apart.
That's right. As soon as I was done throwing up, it was like, all right, set the timer. I'm watching the clock. I think a lot of it comes from I am the oldest child. I don't know if anybody else in the room is
baby
with wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's,
I'm the old guy.
Yeah. You tend to be like, these are the rules. We're going to follow them. There's no breaking from them. Like, everything is, let's figure it out. Like, there's no, and then, you know, of course, the baby comes along and, you know, does whatever.
We older ones have to just fend for ourselves.
Yeah, and it's weird because you're like, I was taught these are the rules, and they just come through and like, no, and flip over tables. And so, like, yeah, I kind of handle everything.
By the time I came along, my mom and dad were like, you probably shouldn't chew on electrical cords, and that's all we have for you.
So tired.
David's like raising a puppy.
And then I bit into one.
They're like, no.
You bit into one?
I did. Squirting
them with a water bottle.
Can you still taste it?
I swear I have a memory of it, but I think I just remember the story. But when I was like between 2 and 3, I just bit into an electrical cord and it sent me across the room somehow.
Oh man, I did something like that. I think I stuck a key into the socket.
That'll do it.
Yeah. God.
Yeah, I think I was like 3.
They didn't baby proof things back then.
No, they didn't have those little plug covers or any of those things. No, they just were like, if you lost track of the kid for a minute, maybe this is why I am the way that I am.
Maybe. Yeah.
They make that baby proof stuff like adult proof. Because I'll go over to someone's house who has like the thing on the doorknob and I'm like, I can't open your door. I am a baby. I cannot do it.
Yeah.
I am a baby.
I am a giant baby.
What are you reviewing today?
I saw Captain America on Tuesday.
I've been looking forward to this. Did you do a review on TikTok yet?
Not on TikTok yet.
Okay.
I wrote one.
Okay.
So
let's have it.
Really, right now?
Okay. Oh, whatever you want to do.
I mean, sure. I mean, it was okay. You know what really threw me in the movie was the score. The score was so. At the beginning of the movie, it's trying to create like the old Captain America Winter Soldier drama that it just didn't have at the moment. And so it seemed so odd that it was almost distracting. Like, you were like, this music just seems like it was cut and paste and it threw like the beginning of the movie off for me. Man, they're having a rough time right now. This movie, you can tell it went through 17, 19 writers. I think it went through 3-4 rewrites, reshoots. You can tell, unfortunately. And I hate that for him. Because I think a lot of people, especially in social media, are looking for reasons to just hate this movie that have nothing to do with the movie.
Anthony Mackie, correct? Is that his name?
Yes.
The first African-American, Captain America.
Like, yeah, I mean, he's in the comics, Falcon becomes...
Right.
Yeah,
they're following the comics storyline. So, I mean, but it's a big deal,
yeah.
First time we've seen it on screen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think they were more complaining about like what he had said about like it's not just America. It's like that's so stupid.
Yeah,
that's looking for reasons.
Didn't help him.
And the fact that there is a Jewish Black Widow in the movie, like she's like, and they didn't put her in costume, comic, you know, exact because like I think in the comics like she wears a huge Star of David on her, so like this time she was just a Black Widow, but people were the fact that she served it was what's the name of the Israeli
IDF?
Yeah, she served in that, and they're saying she posted Zionist. I don't
understand. Really,
so
political.
Like they're really, really trying to go in on this movie already. So it's and you see what's already doing on Rotten Tomatoes. It's going to be.
So I have a question, Captain America. And I'm not a comic book guy, but Captain America is Captain America because of the serum they gave him back in the old days. So this Captain America doesn't have superpowers on his own.
Right.
Correct.
So what are his superpowers? Is it like the machine, kind of like Iron Man?
Kind of a halfway, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it's the suit. He's got a vibranium suit given to him by Wakanda. I can't remember if that's comic book accurate or not. But he doesn't have, and that part of the movie is his debate on everybody around him is telling him that he should have taken the serum and he doesn't. I don't want to be like he's a less intelligent Iron Man, but I mean, like, Iron Man was known for his intellect. The Falcon into Captain America's a regular guy becoming, you know, they're all drawn like way out of proportion. You know, he's huge. In the comics, but yeah. So
that's the stuff that loses me in the universes like that is okay. So he doesn't have any superpowers.
No,
he never suffers brain injury from all the falling around and being punched by Red Hulk.
Get real bruised up.
He doesn't break arms and legs and things like
that. Well, I mean, if you notice, like none of them do.
Well, no, but most of them are somehow superheroes. Right?
Well, I mean, like, Rhodey did lose. Yeah, he did become paralyzed.
Rhodey right,
did,
and he's got a suit that does all of that. And even then, like, Iron Man would still get a concussion, but, you know.
Sure, yeah. No, I mean, you can't watch it and be like, if the Red Hulk hit this guy, he's flying out of the stratosphere. Like, that's not even, yeah, so. Yeah,
what do you think's going on with Marvel?
It was too much at one time. They started bringing in people. They had admittedly brought in people that weren't, that had no knowledge of the comic books, and they just started throwing everything, and they got away from the formula that got them there. They had so much connectivity in those movies. Like, people were watching those movies to see how it linked to the one previous, where it was going, little Easter eggs that, for the comic book reader, like me, I mean, I've read thousands, so it's like you were looking for those little things, and it just... Yeah, they started changing people's powers. They started making people that didn't make sense, and it's just.
Do you think it was just trying to cash in too quick on their success?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, they knew it was making money. They knew like when those trailers would come out. I mean, everybody was watching them. I mean, yeah, everybody watched the Fantastic Four one when it came out, but like everybody was like had YouTube up when the new ones would come out and wanted to see. Oh, what did they, you know, what could they pick apart and break down and see what was related to the old ones and the new ones? And then with the TV shows, they just started, like, all of a sudden it was just like, here's all the superheroes. And you're like, okay, but we haven't met any of these people. And how do they relate to the guys we know? And yeah, I just think it was a little.
The question that I, because I think there's a comparison here with this in the Star Wars universe.
Yes. It's Disney.
But keep in mind, like, how many movies were in that first end game build up? 30?
I think there was 18.
18? So 18 movies to get to the big build up. And the big build up ended up being pretty good. I know there were complaints, but overall, I liked
it.
I mean,
really
the,
good.
the last two movies were amazing. They were fantastic. Sure. They tied it all together. Yeah. Not perfect. There are flaws. I mean, like, we all agree that.
Yeah, that's,
But that's still, that's 18 movies.
18 movies over 11 years.
It's hard to do Star Wars. You've only made 9 of the main storyline. You made half of that, and you still have the same challenge. It's just too many. And I get it. You're making money, which is fine, but that's why they're not good.
Are they still making money?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, just not what they were. I mean, to the point where they had admittedly come out and said, oh, we're going to pull some of these movies and we're going to pull some of these series off the, you know, the production line and kind of. But it's like now it's like everybody's watching it and what, like, everybody who into these movies knows what's coming in the next year or two and is like, I don't see how you're going to pull this together really fast.
Can someone like me who is like, I watched all the original movies and really enjoyed them a lot. And then it just got too far above my head and I didn't have to memorize who everyone was. Can I go into this new movie and see it and enjoy it?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be things that they do pull from the
TV
series,
show, right?
Yeah,
the Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, they do. I mean, but if you don't, if you haven't seen it, isn't it like
it'll go over my head and I won't know it.
No, you're not gonna be so lost that you can't enjoy it. But it just, yeah, I mean, they're closing out Phase 5 here next with the Thunderbolts, and Phase 5 has kind of been, you know,
yeah. And the Thunderbolts might be fun separately because they're pretty funny characters. They were in some of the TV shows. Some of the people that are because they're not the main characters, right? There's a different. So is it Florence Pugh that plays one of the Black Widows? Mm-hmm. She's like
Elena. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she plays, but it's basically I want to say the enemy, but the kind of the nemesis of Black Widow.
Yeah, they're not exactly like the good,
right? They're
clean
kind of in between.
Yeah, yeah, they're the John
the guy
Walker.
From who's the guy from Stranger Things? David Harbour is
Red Guardian.
He plays a former Soviet like Captain America version.
Right, he's the Red Guardian.
Like they're not the good guys, but they're also not evil.
No,
and it might be funny. Like, that could be funny as its own separate type thing.
Yeah. Right. And I could tell you that they, at least with this movie, they did try to go back to the 80-20, 80-15, like, let's make it more serious, let's make it more of a political drama instead of just a laugh. But in saying that, they also tried to create laughs, and some of them just didn't. I mean, the writing is just, it's touchy, because you're just like, some of them are just cringy.
How's Red Hulk?
It looks good. This is going to be the most obvious statement ever, but it's like my only problem with it is having Harrison Ford because it sounds so bad. He just sounds old.
Well, he is.
I know this. I just said it's the most obvious statement, but it's like it's just tough. Again, this is me as like, you know, like Wheeler has his sports nerd thing. This is a comic book nerd thing. Is I know what General Ross is like in the comics. Mm-hmm. And he's like this buff. I mean, he's this old, gruff military dude. Harrison Ford just, I mean, he said, and you're like, yeah, I know you're about 90, but it's just rough.
When he turns into Red Hulk, is Red Hulk like that?
No.
Oh, no.
No. No.
He's Hulk Smash.
Yeah.
He's not old Hulk Smash.
Like, wouldn't that be funny?
He's not like Hulk tired.
Like smashes something like, oh, my back.
Yeah, it's just, it's odd because
I need a pee.
Yeah, he's not complaining about the young generation. He just doesn't turn grumpy and just start railing on
all these Hulks these days. Trying to get in touch with their feelings.
You can find Janelle at Holy L anywhere, right?
Yes,
no underscore.
.com. Yes.
That was my Valentine's present, is no underscore.
Thank you.
252 DG Ass on KMOX. Our buddy Janelle is here talking movies. We're eating cookies. She brought us Valentine's cookies. I just almost went Red Hulk. And on the break, I almost said, not ironically, for the first time in my life, these cookies are fire. And then I caught myself, and I didn't.
You should have.
Because I would have given all three of you the
ick. You should have said, they're bussin'.
Is that what it is now?
These cookies have Riz.
High Riz cookies.
Because I remember, Rach, you and Andrew would say fire like 3 years ago, and then you told me that you were saying it ironically even back then.
The thing is, you can't trust anything Andrew and I say. It's mostly like five different layers of irony. And then we stop. We say it so much it becomes a part of the lexicon. And then it's like, what's even going on? So don't ever pay attention to me is the point.
So Janelle is not just a comic book nerd. She's a baseball nerd. And can you kind of have that little conversation you're having? That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, on Twitter, we had an exchange. Was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. I asked you.
Like places where you can find certain types of information.
Said, yeah. I said, I don't want to consider myself a base level fan. I think I'm a little bit above that, but I'm not. But I said, I think things aren't, a lot of times, you're expected to just either know it, and then like a lot of times, I don't want to say people is gatekeepy about information, but where does your average person, who's at the bottom, beginner, where do you start to learn the stuff that people, you know, that are baseball fans know? Like what are podcasts?
Like what websites,
Yeah.
So to get into some of the like if you want a different view of things, right? Because there are some things, a couple of things that I mentioned, like Foul Territory is former players talking about the game. And then there's the podcast that's from FanGraphs. Mm-hmm. Which one was that one again?
Effectively
Wild, which is an analytics view and sabermetric view of things. And then there are websites that go along with all those. But we were talking during the break about some of the rules changes they've made specifically to accommodate Shohei Ohtani.
Not so much the Dodgers, so people just,
right,
it's just wherever he, because I think it started off, I think they said 2019.
Yeah, it was when he was coming over, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of changed the rules, and then in 2020, they didn't have to because of the
yeah, they could do it, they played around with things because they had the ability to do it.
But then in 2021, I think they changed it again because he hadn't been able to pitch as much
as
what the old rules had said. And so they changed it again. Yeah. And then in like 2020.
Is he gonna pitch this year?
Yeah, he's going to be back this year from his second Tommy John. And there are some rules. Like, you're only allowed to have 13 pitchers on your staff unless one of them qualifies, like he does, as a position player. So the Dodgers can actually have 14 pitchers because he doesn't count just as a pitcher. He's a two-way player. So that's one of the things you're talking about. It used to be the rule that if you were pitching and you came out of the game, you could no longer be a hitter.
Right.
So they did. Then they ended up doing is going to the college rule. This has been the high school and college rule forever, that you could be the DH and the pitcher and remain the DH when you come out of the game as the pitcher.
Right.
And all of it makes sense. We've just never seen a player like him that was, you know, allowed to pursue both to the point where when you get to the big leagues, you're actually really good at both.
What are the chances 10 years from now we're talking about him as the greatest player ever to live?
Oh, I think it's a pretty good chance. He's already, what's the right way to put this? He's already
a statistical anomaly.
The one of a kind.
Yeah.
I mean, he's legitimately a Cy Young caliber starting pitcher and an MVP hitter, all, like, separately. Nobody's ever been that. The only question statistically is how long can he go? Because Babe Ruth has some great records like that, but Babe Ruth didn't do them both at the same time. He pitched, and then he gave up pitching to become a hitter. And he was a great pitcher before hitter, but obviously became the greatest hitter of all time. I think still that probably still holds. But when you're out-homering entire teams in
your
generation.
We're lucky to be seeing him in his era.
Oh, there's never been anything like this.
And it'll be interesting seeing how he does come back from his surgery and pitching this year. So,
do they sometimes come back stronger?
Stronger than before the injury, because when you're right before you're injured, you're fraying.
Yeah.
That ligament is breaking and it's not at full strength. So, you can be a little better. But this is his second one. And the second time is always a lot dicier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Janelle. Appreciate it.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.